This is the Todd Wright Lightning Playoff Podcast. I'm Todd Wright. Thanks for tuning in. This has been in the works for some time now, as my discussions with the great guys at JoeBucksFan.com has sensed and appreciated all the enthusiasm for the Tampa Bay Lightning and what might be in store for this postseason run. So for weeks now, I've been talking to JoeBucksFan.com about increasing their Lightning coverage, as they've already had a Lightning podcast for about a month, month and a half now. My interest in the Tampa Bay Lightning is very high, with a number of people that I know in the organization, the TV broadcasters in particular, and a few of the people in the PR and the marketing department, and just going to a number of games and being at the Stanley Cup Finals in 2004. I'm a former season ticket holder, not once, but twice in the 25-year history of the Lightning. So what we are simply planning on doing is a twice-weekly podcast. The dates will somewhat fluctuate based on the actual dates of playoff games. For example, we'll probably offer you a podcast on, say, a Sunday or a Monday, depending on which day there is or isn't a playoff game, because we want to put a podcast out there that have a little bit of a shelf life, either coming right off a game or leading up to the next game or the start of the next playoff series. So this is just sort of an introduction to what we will be doing. As it was determined Sunday night, I'm recording this on Monday morning, the week of the Stanley Cup playoffs. It was quite a week for the Tampa Bay Lightning, a lot of highs and lows, starting with the best performance they've had in a couple of seasons head-to-head against the Boston Bruins, where the Lightning defeated the Boston Bruins with a regulation victory. A loss in that game could have pretty much ensured that Boston would have been the top seed in the division and in the Eastern Conference, but the Lightning, despite their struggles down the stretch of this regular season, put together one of their better late regular season games of the year in a fairly dominant 60-minute performance against the Boston Bruins. That win earlier last week put the Lightning in a position to control their destiny to the postseason seeding as it related to the division championship and the conference's top seed. Then on Friday night, things got a little weird as the Lightning jumped quickly on the Buffalo Sabres and then saw the Sabres rally from various deficits. The most notable was probably a 4-2 deficit. I was making a stop in at one of my favorite places on Friday nights to see an old friend who works at Eats American Grill in South Tampa. When I walked in, it was 4-2 Lightning. And then after a greeting, how you been, what's been going on, look up, and suddenly it's 5-4 Buffalo. The Lightning rallied in that third period to win that game in regulation and continue to control their destiny towards the division title and the number one seed in the conference, knowing they had one more game left to play on what was billed around the league as Super Saturday. The initial plan, it was kind of thrown off by the makeup game between the Bruins and the Panthers from a snowout earlier in the year. But the whole idea is, and I defer on this to, I'm not the most enthusiastic or biggest follower of World Cup play, but often in the final day of group play in the World Cup, to keep all games meaningful at the time they are played, games are played simultaneous that have impact on each other. So the league took the same approach this year, having all but one team, since there are 31 teams currently in the league, at least until Seattle gets its act together and has an expansion franchise like Vegas. So Pittsburgh was done, pretty confident to leave the defending champions out of it, knowing they're likely going to be fine, and actually worked out pretty well with the Penguins sitting out Super Saturday. But the Lightning were playing 2 points ahead of Boston at the same time that Boston was playing its game I believe that night it was against the Ottawa Senators while the Lightning were playing at the Carolina Hurricanes. Well, it turned out on Saturday night, Lightning lose to the Carolina Hurricanes, albeit it was an overtime loss that earned them 1 point, an overtime loss where John Cooper made the decision to play Louis Domingue, leave Andrei Vasilevskiy at home. Lightning lose that game, Boston won, so suddenly Boston then controlled its fate as they could jump back over the Tampa Bay Lightning with their makeup game against the Florida Panthers on Sunday. But much as Carolina, you could take this even further. Buffalo didn't have anything playoff-wise to play for in their game against the Lightning on Friday night and clearly showed enthusiasm to play the game and win the game. I think we can all agree with that. Carolina certainly did that in their game against Tampa Bay. And then Florida, which had played well in the later stages of the season, but then Florida, eliminated from playoff contention, went out and defeated the Boston Bruins. Boston proving to be a victim of a number of things that have hampered them even in this later stretch of the season where they've played so well. Not getting off to fast starts, not working hard enough in front of their own net, in front of Tuukka Rask to help him out, and also just inability to clear their zone cleanly, turnovers at their own blue line, all victimizing Boston in what I'll even say was a surprising result against an eliminated Florida Panther team in the last game of the regular season. And as a result of that, it's the Lightning that do earn that number one seed and a playoff series against Wild Card 2, the New Jersey Devils. We'll get to them in a moment, while Boston falls to the 2 spot and will play the Toronto Maple Leafs as the 3. Not telling any of you Lightning fans anything you don't already know, but as I explained to it, making an appearance on my friend Drew Garabo's show late last week when we were talking about the Lightning on 102.5 The Bone in Tampa Bay, the significance of being the one seed is, look, Toronto is a very young, offensively talented team with a number of guys. And Austin Matthews sat out a number of games late in the season, was just getting back on the ice these last few games of the regular season to get ready for the postseason, their best player. But Toronto last year in the first round of the playoffs rode that young talent to a very competitive series in the early rounds against the Washington Capitals. Now, of course, in the playoffs, the Capitals become the Collapsitals. So some would say, well, that's the Capitals. What do you expect? They would struggle in the playoffs. But still, it was a strong showing for a young franchise under a veteran Stanley Cup winning coach in Mike Babcock that was a good first step. They didn't just make the playoffs. They showed up in the playoffs. So for this year, there were expectations on the Leafs to take another step. And at least regular season-wise, for the most part, they did that. They didn't keep up points-wise with Tampa Bay or Boston. But Toronto's effort and their regular season was a strong one, albeit ultimately resulting in a third-place finish in the division. The key to being the one seed is, as my friend Joey puts it very simply, when you have three talented teams in your own division with the way the NHL structures the playoffs, and it's not just a 1-8-2-7-3-6-4-5 bracket, and then you reseed afterwards, kind of like the NBA does, you know what your path is to get to the conference finals. So in its simplest form, if you earn the one seed in your division, you are going to have to avoid beating those other two talented teams in your division to get to the conference finals. You would at least have two of them take each other out, one of them out. So that's now on Boston. Boston's potential path to the conference finals is to defeat Toronto and possibly Tampa Bay, which seems like a tougher path in theory than beating the second wild card and then who's ever left from the other two teams. So that's the path. Now we're going to talk about New Jersey here And I think Lightning fans are going to see this play out probably early in the series. Kind of a be careful what you wish for. I am not comparing the path as the two seed to the path as the one seed. But New Jersey is a very hot, young, hungry team that's excited about making the playoffs and being in the playoffs. And it's on the strength of two particular guys who could play very key roles in this first round series against Tampa Bay. The one you probably know is Taylor Hall, traded a few years ago from the Edmonton Oilers. Hall is finally going to the postseason and is considered a league MVP candidate. Now, I know that's not going to register with some of you who say, how in the world can you have a league MVP candidate when a team is the second wild card and barely makes the playoffs? Well, that's what Taylor Hall has done for this New Jersey Devils team this year. Anyone who has watched the Devils or been around the Devils will vouch for that. He actually did sit, I believe, the final game, which prevented him from chasing a 40-goal season. But Hall scoring in the high 30s in goals and just doing so much on the ice and especially offensively for this New Jersey Devils team, that is a significant talent that John Cooper and the Lightning must contain and control in this upcoming series against the Devils. Because as we know, at least recently, the Lightning have been involved in some rather high-scoring games, more than they wish to, and that means there's been room out there on the ice for opposing offensive talents. The Lightning's penalty kill hasn't been particularly good all season, while their power play has been one of the best. So it suggests that Taylor Hall may have opportunities to put points on the board in this playoff series. And if he does, then that means that the Lightning are going to need to do what they've done so often this season, which seems to be outscoring opponents, and even more recently, despite having Andrei Vasilevsky in net. That may not be as easy in this series, even though the Devils are wild card number two and haven't been to the playoffs in 6 years. The Devils have one of the better goaltending stories in the league here at the end of the season in Keith Kincaid. And I know the name means little to those of you who only follow Tampa Bay Lightning hockey, but for those of you that follow the Devils, for those of you that follow Action League-wide, for those of you that play, say, DraftKings fantasy hockey, you just know how good Keith Kincaid has been recently. Corey Schneider, who was the clear number one goaltender for the Devils in January, went down with a groin injury. And look, Kincaid's not a kid. Kincaid next year will turn 30 years old. He's been with the Devils for the last few years, primarily as the backup. But he has made the most of the opportunity. Schneider has gotten healthy and is available now as a number two, and has been available since March. Kincaid's just been that good. I believe Kincaid, in his last 19 games, is 16-2-1. And in his last 8 games, he's 7-0-1. And of those last 8 games, he's won 7 of them by one goal. So the Devils feel great about him. His play in net has been spectacular. And just you see there's a formula here that could be problematic for the Lightning. The Lightning haven't been playing particularly well at the end of the season. The Devils have been winning a lot of games just to get into the postseason. Vasilevsky, not all his fault, has been the victim of a number of high-scoring games. Kincaid has been winning those type of games, winning one-goal games, and has been doing it both here the last couple of weeks as the Devils made their playoff push, and really ever since he took over for Corey Schneider. They just can't get this guy out of the lineup. So it's sort of an odd situation to look at a wild card two and say, you know, them against one of the top 3 point teams in the NHL as it relates to, Nashville, Tampa Bay, Boston as the top three, and Vegas isn't too far behind that, and make a case for them. But remember, this is the Stanley Cup playoffs. We've seen 8 seeds go all the way to the Stanley Cup finals and win the Stanley Cup, most recent one being the Jonathan Quick, goaltender-led Los Angeles Kings in one of their 2 Cup runs in recent years. So, sure, the path is better because Toronto and Boston will knock each other off, leaving just one for what I call the division finals, or as it were, the conference semifinals. But there are some things going on with the New Jersey Devils that could cause problems for the Tampa Bay Lightning. Game 1 set for Thursday and Game 2 set for Saturday, with that Saturday start, I believe, in the late afternoon window. And a lot of that late afternoon window because the Lightning draw New Jersey as opposed to drawing Toronto, where the game probably would have been in the evening. So we will give you 2 podcasts per week for the duration of the Lightning's run in the postseason, and I hope you enjoy these podcasts. I will be attending a number of the home games as well to follow along with the Lightning's push and run at a second Stanley Cup and a third potential appearance in the Stanley Cup Finals, the most recent appearance, of course, being 3 seasons ago when they lost to the Chicago Blackhawks. Thank you for listening to the Todd Wright Lightning Playoff Podcast, and we'll talk to you later in the week.